Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I'd like to start the evening with I have so many favorite quotes, but one that I've loved for years by a Christian author, writer Roy Lesson is his name. You might recognize the name. He's one of the authors for Dayspring cards. Anyway, I used to have this hanging on my kitchen wall until one of the kids hit it with a ball, and it broke and shattered, but I still love the quote. Just think, it starts off, "You're not here by chance, but by God's choosing. His hand formed you and made you the person that you are. He compares you to no one else. You're one of a kind. You lack nothing that his grace can't give you. He has allowed you to be here in this time in history to fulfill his special purpose for this generation." I love that. I believe the Lord has allowed me this opportunity to be here tonight to encourage you with the truth that God is the God of the process. And if I had to come up with a little name for my message, that's it. The God of the process. The most consistent thing God has spoken to me over the last few years has been, trust my process. Though my walk is still a bit wobbly at times, I have witnessed and participated in the activity of God more in the last few years than ever before in my entire life. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus is the author of our stories and the perfecter of our faith. In the book of Acts, we learn that God marked out our appointed times in history and the exact places where we would live. He did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him, though he's not far from any one of us. Isn't that a wonderful truth? He's not far. As a matter of fact, he's very, very close. We are part of God's story. And even though this Bible is complete, the God of the universe is still writing our stories. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are letters from Christ, known and read by everyone, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Your life is a letter being read by everyone. And the God of the process is intimately involved in writing the details, orchestrating every circumstance to draw you closer to himself and into the purposes that he created for you before time even began. How awesome is that? He didn't create us and then abandon us. He's intimately involved in the process of our lives. And he's actually gone before us. Do you believe that? Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Even more exciting to me than knowing that he's traveled before us is the truth that his Spirit lives within us. He travels with us, within us. And if you profess faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin, the Holy Spirit lives within you. He promises to lead and guide and strengthen and comfort us as we yield to him, the God of the process. The work is all his. It's not ours. I'm talking about a relationship here. I'm not talking about religion. But I have to tell you, if you're here tonight and you don't know about this relationship in which I'm speaking, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, then please let today be the day of your salvation. He is pursuing you. Yes. That is why you're here, okay? Well, we've been studying the life of Abraham on Wednesday nights here at Painesville Assembly in the Journey of Faith sermon series. And if anybody knows about the God of the process, it's good old Abraham. He was on a journey to a land promised to him and his descendants. Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Abraham had faith to believe in God's process, even though he didn't know where he was going. I love that. Like Abraham, we're all on a journey of faith. And I believe God has a promised land for each one of us. Yes. Scripture tells us in Galatians 3:29 that if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's spiritual seed and heirs according to the promise. In the Old Testament, the promised land was called Canaan. And for believers in Jesus Christ, heaven awaits us as our eternal promised land. But here on earth, I believe that God has created a promised land for each one of us, a place of abiding rest in his love. And then from that place in Christ, he can use us to be his witnesses and advance his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So even though we don't know exactly where we're going, we can trust our faithful guide. God knows exactly the process through which we will reach our promised land. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. I'm sure that you guys will agree with me on one thing. Boy, I'm dry, sorry. The process at times is not easy. Sometimes the process can be downright painful, right? Yeah. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah.
We're studying the book of Philippians here on Sunday mornings, and we recently just read Paul's advice to forget what is behind. Strain toward what is ahead, to press on toward the goal, to win the prize for which Christ has called us heavenward. Forgetting what is behind. I know God does not want us living in our pasts, but sometimes reflecting on where we used to be and what God has brought us through can encourage us in the process of pressing on. Oftentimes it's easier to see how God has moved in our lives by looking to the past. And that's likely why Scripture so often encourages us to remember the deeds of the Lord, to consider the great things he has done, the miracles and the wonders of his hands. My husband Ken and I were recently talking about God's hand in our lives. We were reflecting on our past together. My husband Ken's father, his name was Gene, and he was an amazing man who loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. His life had not been easy, being one of 12 children growing up in the hills of Kentucky. He decided as a young man to move to Northeast Ohio for work, and that is when he met Ken's mom, Helen. They fell in love with each other, they married, and they started a family. One of Gene's brothers was a preacher and came to Akron to preach a revival, and it was during that service that Gene was saved. He gave his life to Christ. Helen soon after surrendered her life to Jesus, and together they started attending a church in Willoughby. They eventually started a church plant in their home in 1964 when my mother-in-law was pregnant with my husband, and they continued to serve the Lord faithfully for many years. But in 1978, at the age of 40, Gene was involved in a terrible accident. The loaded dump truck he was driving. I didn't expect to get so upset, but it's to be expected. The Lord, the Lord would have me share this tonight. The loaded dump truck that he was driving was hit by a train on Narrows Road in Perry. Gene survived the accident, but he was severely injured as a result. And for 2 long years, the family prayed and believed God for Gene's healing. God did heal Gene, but chose to heal him in his presence by taking him home to glory on December 4th, 1980. And I can honestly tell you that I have never missed someone so much that I have never met. And I look forward to meeting your dad one day in heaven. Yes. 6 years later, Ken's mom married a man completely the opposite of Gene. His name was Gordon. A gruff Navy veteran, an intimidating man who refused to listen to anything about God's love for him. He would ask Ken not to speak of the Lord in his presence. My husband grew to love his stepfather and persisted in sharing his faith and love of Jesus for years as they worked together. Gordon was a hard man, and he said he would never cry out to the Lord, not even on his deathbed. But we continued to pray for his salvation. He was diagnosed with leukemia, which he battled for years. And would you know it, 2 weeks before his death, the love of God melted his heart of stone, and he knelt before family and friends and gave his life to Jesus Christ. His life had been completely and eternally transformed by the love of the Father. Bless you. Now, would Ken and his family have chosen that process? No. As they prayed diligently for Gene's healing for 2 years, did they ever imagine that God would ultimately heal Gene in glory so that Helen would marry a man whom he was pursuing for salvation? No. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord in Isaiah 55:8. I'd love to share another quote, another one of my favorites, from a dear brother in Christ. His name is Dave Carroll, and he's written a book called The Father's Heart. So this quote is speaking of the Father's relentless love for us. You need to be reminded of it every day. You need to dig deeper into the truth of his love and grow in your understanding of his love every day. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to open up the hidden places of your heart so that his love can bring life and healing. His love is the only source of power for your life and for your ministry to others. It's a love that paid a very high price for you, a love that is always ready to welcome you, a love that will pursue you to the farthest corner of the earth in order to bring you back home, no matter what you have done or what kind of person you have become. That is exactly what God did in Gordon's life. That is exactly what God did in my life, and perhaps in yours as well. I know some of you know my story, but for those of you who don't, I will give you a brief synopsis. I am the oldest of three girls, raised in a Christian home in Leroy. Nancy, you're such a saint. Thank you so much. Excuse me. I grew up not too far from here, over in Leroy, and I remember learning about Jesus growing up and even repeating the sinner's prayer at the age of 7. Life was good, seemed normal, until my parents divorced when I was 11. We lost everything in a devastating house fire when I was 12, and then both my parents remarried that same year. My stepfather moved us from the country to Cincinnati when I was 15, and that was like culture shock for me. I quickly fell away from the church, which seemed so full of hypocrites. I made some new friends who accepted me for who I was, rejected misfits like myself, and we managed to get into some pretty crazy things together. I started drinking and experimenting with drugs my junior year in high school. I got pretty good at hiding behind a mask. I graduated high school with honors, was accepted into University of Cincinnati's nursing school. I moved out of my mom and my stepfather's house. I did not get along well with my stepfather. And then over the course of 4 years, things slowly spiraled out of control. The partying became excessive, and the relationships I found myself in were far from healthy. Deep down inside, I knew that the way I was living was not right, but I felt stuck. There were several instances that I know the Lord was trying to get my attention, and one spring day in Winchester, Kentucky, he started to break through that wall of self-preservation that I had built up inside. I hung with a pretty rowdy bunch, and often on the weekends, we would travel an hour south of Cincinnati to Red River Gorge in Kentucky to party and rappel. In February of 1994, on a beautiful, unseasonably warm weekend, we were rappelling a 280-foot rock face. I was an adrenaline junkie at the time. I no longer am. When it was my turn, I had no problem starting my descent down that rock face. When I was about 75 feet from the ground, I came to rest on a small rock ledge, and I yelled down to the young man who was belaying, who was holding the rope, and I yelled down, "I'm going to free fall." And that's exactly what I did. In the time it took me to yell, "Belay me," 3 times, I hit the ground hard. I was broken and bleeding, but miraculously I was alive. God's hand of protection was surely upon me. And I'd like to tell you that that was it. I straightened my life out right away. I repented and recommitted my life the second I got home. But that's not the way my story goes. It was another 16 months before I found myself even deeper in that dark pit of depression and despair. I knew there was no way that I could escape it on my own. I just was not strong enough. I was a mess. Daily anxiety attacks, depression, and a thick cloud of discouragement seemed to rest on me, which led me to self-medicate with alcohol and drugs all the more. I remember one night thinking to myself, is this really it? Is this the life that I was meant to live? I so badly wanted to believe in my heart that there was something better for me, but those relentless lies of the enemy filled my mind constantly. Look at what a mess you've become. You should be so ashamed of yourself and the decisions that you've made. No one will love you. God must be so disappointed in you. Why don't you just give up? And it was then that the God of the process brought some amazing people into my life who reminded me of the truth of God's love for me and his plan for my life. One of those people is my wonderful husband of almost 22 years. Would I have chosen the pit of drugs and alcohol and depression and a near-death experience for myself? No. But God sees the bigger picture, and he never stopped pursuing me, and he'll never stop pursuing you. I surrendered my life to Jesus in July of 1995, and I asked him to save me from my sin and to come and make me new. And over the last 2 decades, he has allowed me to encourage others on this journey. He continues to be my deliverer, and he will be yours. The following verse from Psalm 40, the following verses from Psalm 40 are my life verses, and they speak of what the God of the process did and continues to do in my life. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Oh, let it be so, Lord. The process has been painful at times, and I've often wanted out. Can you relate? Have you ever tried to escape the process God has you in? Tried to take the short way through? God may take some of us aside for years as he pursues our hearts and calls us to yield, to fully surrender to the very purposes for which the process exists. Actually, we're all in a lifelong process of transformation, and we only harm ourselves by trying to escape before his work in us is complete. Remember, he's transforming us into his image. We all desire that, right? To be more like Jesus? Yes, we want to know him, but often dread or avoid the very process he uses to reveal himself to us. I am a blessed mama to 6 amazing children, and last week, my precious little girl, Faith, she wanted to go for a bike ride. Well, I wasn't riding a bike. I was going to walk next to her as she rode her bike. So we're planning on going for a walk, and she said, "Hey, Mom." "Yes." "Will you go the long way with me?" And instantly, the Holy Spirit pricked my heart. The long way? Who wants to go the long way? I don't want to go the long way. I want to completely avoid the long way, right? It's too hard. It's painful. And it can be downright costly to go the long way. But if there's one thing that I've learned over the last few years, and yes, it's been years, is that we cannot rush God's process. It's never a waste of time. He never wastes our pain. He's a good, good father. Early on in my journey with the Lord, I heard a preacher say, "Nothing touches our lives that has not first sifted through God's hands." So really, we have 2 choices in the matter: to believe or not believe that he has our ultimate good in mind. I love this quote, by Oswald Chambers. "If we are in fellowship and oneness with God and we recognize that he's taking us into his purposes, then we will no longer strive to find out what his purposes are. As we grow in the Christian life, it becomes simpler to us because we are less inclined to say, 'I wonder why God allowed this or that.' And we begin to see that the compelling purpose of God lies behind everything in life. He uses everything. He wastes nothing." So I won't get into all the details, But as I've shared, the process that God has had me in over the course of the last few years has been a bit difficult. See, when the process involves physical suffering, it can be challenging to focus on anything other than that. Along the way, and especially now as I reflect back, I can see him walking through the process with me. He's never once left me. And let me share with you who he has been to me and who he will most certainly be to you. God has revealed himself as the constant, unchanging one when my world, the whole world in which we live in, is changing far too fast. He is my strength and my courage when I feel weak. He is the rock that I cling to when I feel insecure, perfect love when fear tries to snatch my breath. He is my garment of praise when a spirit of heaviness tries to crush me, my anchor when the winds and the waves of panic toss me to and fro. He is the light when the darkness presses in, and the strength of my heart and my portion forever when my heart races out of control. The well of living water when I feel so very thirsty, and the bread of life when I hunger. My refuge and my hiding place when the enemy hurls his threats. My peace that surpasses all understanding when I don't understand a thing. My resting place when fatigue overwhelms. And my warrior king when the battle rages on. I would not have known him. I would not have experienced him in these ways apart from the process, apart from the trials. God has continually repeated these words to my heart. Trust my process, Jenny. Don't try to rush through this and make it an act of your will. Trust me in it and through it. I am equipping you for the next season, and I do not waste pain and adversity. Like Abraham, we must assert truth against circumstances and feelings. Listen to what Romans 4:18 says. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." Abraham was not perfect, but God still chose to use him because he had faith to believe and he was willing to be used by God. Do you have faith to believe? Are you willing to be used by God? As we continue to study the life of Abraham, we will see that there's still hope even in our mistakes, even when we try to help God with the process. And by the way, he doesn't need our help. He only needs our surrendered hearts. God's truth is real and unchanging, regardless of how we feel at any given moment or what we see with our physical eyes. Much of life is a decision about how and what to see. God's reality or the reality that we perceive. We must learn to insist on seeing things from God's perspective rather than our own. See, God had to renew my mind. He had to renew my perspective, and maybe he needs to renew your mind and perspective too. His presence is strong when we think like him. We indeed have the mind of Christ. There is a battle raging, but let me remind you something. That battle has already been won. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Isaiah 43. He is the God of the process, and he wants to reveal himself to you. Last week we studied in Genesis 15. Do you remember how God encouraged Abraham's heart? Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. He's speaking that same thing to our hearts as well. We read last week how Abraham encountered the very presence of God. Do you remember Genesis 15:12? As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. God is always speaking, but when I read that, it caused me to realize that we often hear most clearly during the dark seasons of life. You know, it was in that thick and dreadful darkness that Almighty God spoke so clearly to Abram. And then in the New Testament, Jesus told his disciples, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the rooftops," in Matthew 10:27. So I don't know what your process looks like, but I want to encourage you to let God speak to your heart. And encourage you as only he can. especially when it gets dark and maybe a little difficult to see. Then you can proclaim from the rooftops with confidence what he has revealed because you have experienced him personally and powerfully. Again, I don't know what you're going through, but let me remind you that God knows every detail of your circumstances. We may not know why God is taking us this way or that way. We may go through trials without understanding, but we will never go through trials without him. God not only wants to reveal himself to us in deeper ways, but he almost always purposes that our experiences will benefit others as well. He wants to help us to understand what other people are going through. He wants us to be able to identify with those that he'll bring across our paths so that we can be a conduit of his love and hope and comfort and healing.
Yes.
The God of the process wants to use you. But let me share a little something before we end this. We often expect a direct process, and it hardly ever is. We live in such an instant society, don't we? Everything just a click away. We expect an immediate answer, an immediate healing, an immediate revelation. And although God is completely able to move immediately in our lives, he's usually thinking long term. He usually wants us to go the long way. So it's time to lay down our expectations. I'd like to invite the worship team to come back up and lead us back into a time of worshiping the Lord and remind you that the altars are open here. And I want to invite you to come and let him reassure your heart tonight that he is near. He is so near. He is faithful to complete the work that he has started. Yes, he is faithful to complete the process of making us more like Jesus. He desires to lead us away from a focus on ourselves and out of our comfort zones. He's calling us to lay down our lives so that he can fill us with himself. You died to yourself when you trusted in Christ. And now with Jesus as your Lord, you are empowered to serve him by the Holy Spirit. I have to remind myself that God is actively involved in writing my story. He is the author. He gets to choose the chronology, the details. So we must choose to trust the process and believe that he's making us more like himself. He has a plan and a purpose for me. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of you. I am who he says I am, and you are who he says you are. Not your past, not your peers, not your performances. He has made us new. He has given us an unquestionable identity. We are sons and daughters. And if the process becomes complex or the way unclear, and we wonder if we can keep walking, please, brothers and sisters, pause and remember the one who is writing your story. Remember the God of the process. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for being the God of the process. Thank you that you love us so much that you divinely orchestrate every circumstance of our lives so that we can know you better. You don't waste a thing, Lord. Thank you that you work all things together for the good of those who love you, who've been called according to your purpose. You are calling us to believe in your process for our lives. Lord, would you please give us endurance and strength for the journey? Help us to have faith like Abraham that does not waver. Help us, Lord, to open wide our hearts to fully receive all that you have for us, to receive the fullness of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.